5th of May, 10th of May.
So we have any public comments? All right, would you?
Hi, I'm Steve Worth. I'm from Buffalo here. I moved here in 13, and I'm on the Honor Guard, and I'm a member of both Veterans Post, Legion, VFW, and I'm out here all the time. And I want to thank you guys for the improvements you've made out here. You probably don't hear that too much, but the roads have been repaired, a lot of them. The block markers are real good. Let me see, I got a little list here. I mentioned the restrooms. The general upkeep has been a big improvement since 2013 when I started coming out here all the time, helping with funerals. And then you save the taxpayers a lot of money with some of your programs too, like not having to use vaults, contracting out some of your bookkeeping or whatever it is. And really, I've seen lots of improvements, and I appreciate it as a taxpayer. And the other thing is, I'd like to see you guys to continue working towards developing a little ceremonial area in the veterans section where you'll have a platform that's covered in electricity, because it would be real helpful on not just Memorial Day, but other things that could be done out here. You know, I don't know if you know it, but a lot of old vets, the Korean guys and Vietnam vets, come out here sometimes and just sit down for a few minutes in the area of their buddies are buried. And, you know, a few more benches maybe. And some of that stuff's what I'm talking about. But you've done a good job since I started coming out here all the time. And I just wanted you to know that, and that I appreciate it as a taxpayer and a veteran. So
thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Any other public comments on anyone?
I think some of the trees need to be trimmed back, because some of the markers where we put flags on Memorial Day and stuff are under the trees. We have to kind of try to get in there to put them on. Maybe somebody could look at a few of those.
Did you hear that?
Some of the trees need
the trees?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. The lower area.
Branch trimming.
All right. No. Low-hanging branches.
Yeah.
We do a lot of putting out flags on special days for veterans and mm-hmm. auxiliary members and stuff. And some of them are under the trees.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've got our
good point.
Employees here that I'm sure they've heard this. And we'll address that.
One thing with some of those is they're family planted bushes, and we aren't supposed to touch family planted bushes.
These aren't those we're talking about. These are real trees that are 30, 40 years old.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a common sense situation.
We'll
address that. All right, now we will proceed on to the vouchers.
Let's let Shanda handle that if that's okay.
I don't really have anything on the vouchers. You didn't want me to do the financial report now, did you?
No, that's where.
We have to accept
the vouchers.
Make a motion that we accept the vouchers.
Vouchers
is submitted to the board.
Yeah, I didn't hear.
I'll make a motion to accept the vouchers as submitted to the board.
Oh,
second.
And a motion. Any comment, further comment?
If our cell phone bill was $477. Are you guys able to look at any other options?
And the reason it's a
up right now is, right before Dan left, we were told to get new phones, upgrade his and mine, because we weren't able to answer calls, and we're missing calls on our phones.
So that was part of a new phone purchase?
Yeah.
Well, we plus $35 a line. That line also includes our internet connection.
Because we got separate on Verizon, our Visionary.
Visionary.
It's $130.
Yeah.
John, that bill is actually 2 months.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. But it's still separate than the cell phone.
Yes. It's all under communications.
On the budget. They're on the same budget line. Yeah,
but that's two different vendors.
Because we have, three cell phones?
Three cell phones and a jet.
Three cell phones we got.
Yeah, she said a jet pack.
That's our
hotspot.
Sure.
This seems like we could still be able to get cell service.
Well, we've got, I'm trying to remember. Grant's got a cell phone. Megan's got a cell phone. What's the third?
Dinetti.
Oh, yes.
Here in KC.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the jet pack is here in KC for internet use.
Yes.
So that's basically $200 a month.
And so our bill will be running around $198, $200 a month. The reason it was $400 is it was 2 months worth of bills for Verizon.
I was doing a little bit cheapest I could find was $55 a month per phone. Plus, so we'll be right back. Pretty close to $200 a month. I don't know if we could. I could keep shopping, but I don't know if we could be much more at that price.
Any further discussions? All those in favor of accepting the vouchers? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, signify by saying no. Motion is carried. Vouchers are approved. Has everyone had an opportunity to look at the minutes?
And I move we approve the minutes for the April board meeting.
So we have a motion.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? No further discussion. All those in favor of accepting the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying no. Motion is carried. Minutes are approved. Now we'll get to the financial report.
Shanda.
Okay, if you turn to the first page of the financial report, the balance sheet, that checking account balance is no longer negative. There was a sale of spaces that was deposited that was $4,200 that was done right at the first of the month and not in April. And then yesterday we received the check from the county, and that was over $14,000. So our current checking account balance is $18,579. And WildStar has not been distributed for April, so I'm not sure what that interest rate is or how much interest we received there. On the transactions report, that Heartland Kubota, the Toro, will be reclassified to KC instead of Willow Grove. But I don't think there was any other corrections unless anybody had any questions on signing the vouchers. On the profit and loss budget versus actual, that red still isn't very easy to read. I apologize. I will make that a different color the next time. But we are getting close to the end of the fiscal year, So obviously a lot of those numbers are going to be approaching or over our budgeted figures. We still have $62,000 in our budgeted funds to expend, so as long as we don't go over that, we shouldn't have to amend our budget. One thing I do want to point out, and you guys don't have this in front of you because it just came yesterday, but the property tax funds we've gotten from the treasurer, there's two new line items. We're collecting in advance from what I had a conversation with Carla yesterday, so hopefully I've interpreted this correctly. So we are starting to collect mineral taxes from companies in advance. So there's two new line items on our tax sheet that we get from Carla. And one of them is fiscal year 23-24 and fiscal year 22-23. So on this last check, we got $355 that are fiscal year 23-24 and $289 that's tax mineral tax collections from fiscal year 22-23. The issue with this is it is assessed and paid to us at our current mill. If our mill would change, then we could possibly be responsible for returning a portion of that fund if the mill in 2024 is not what our mill is now. Does that make sense?
The valuation of the mill?
The actual mills. You guys adjust your mill a little bit depending on the dollar amount you want to take. So when they multiply that out by the income, it could change.
Shanda, in an oversimplified fashion, is this companies that are paying their production, I'll call them royalties or taxes, before the due date?
John, from what I understand, they typically pay 18 months in the rears.
Right, and they're converting.
To make them pay in advance.
And of course, this month, we're talking less than $1,000
yeah.
between the two, but right. I could see where this could be a big deal farther down the road if a production company thought that the taxes were going to go up at the tax rates were going to go up at a later date. By prepaying them, they're getting a discount. And yeah, we'll have to watch that to see if that becomes a big deal or if it's just minor inconvenience.
Separately, as separate line items, so we can see what the actual value is throughout the entire year. And this has nothing to do with the U.S. realm or that other settlement.
The Carbon Creek.
Yeah, these are completely separate things. And I did visit with Carla about that as well, and she does not think we will see anything this fiscal year. In fact, it is still at the court. So she doesn't feel any of that is guaranteed even at this point.
Do we need to fence that future tax money's off?
Do we need to what?
Do we need to fence it off more succinctly, i.e. a totally separate account for 23, 24, not just a line item in the budget, but a totally separate account? Because if our mill, if we decide to take less of the mill, we'll owe that money back.
The
difference.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I'm just asking, that is it more safety conscious to fence it off into a separate account and only pull it into our budgeting account when we hit that fiscal year?
Yeah, Shanda has a plan to segregate that now.
Okay.
And John, as far as it's accounting-wise, we'll be able to do it. If it becomes a huge deal, we might even be smart to isolate it in a different bank account.
Right. That's what I was asking. Safety wise,
fence
it off with it into a separate account so that we know that it's there.
Yeah.
And John, we can sure watch it for a while and see what kind of funds we're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's 200 a month, I think we'll be able to, you know, if we have to pay back, we could pretty easily. If it turns into $5,000, $10,000 a month, then, we might really want to
fence.
Back to the Carbon Creek thing for just a second. Shanda didn't say it, but I'm pretty sure that what she said affirms this, is the bankruptcy judge has not yet signed off on the negotiated settlement with the county. So while, you know, there's been a negotiated settlement, that settlement has not technically been approved by all the parties that have the power to approve it. So, I mean, I certainly hope it proceeds on the basis that it is, because candidly, it'll mean $130,000+ to us next year. So, but that is the status. It is not a 100% done deal yet. And Shanda made one other comment. Is we've got roughly $62,000 remaining in line item budgeted expenditures for the next 2 months, the next 2 months being May and June. Depending on other actions that we might take, we could be pressing towards that $62,000. My current estimates of things that I sort of have a feel for that are going to happen, we probably are going to use at least $50,000 of that $62,000. So we need to be prepared that if we take some actions that put us a little closer to that finish line, we could have to have a budget hearing sometime in June to amend the budget. So just a cautionary thing. At this point in time, I'm not recommending that we proceed with one, but it could happen that we will need to.
And you were looking at the line items in here that are 60% or 80% of the budget year, moving those funds back around. Does that account for that $60,000+?
We've got the grand total of all the line item expenditure lines.
Okay.
Not revenue lines, expenditure lines, is that we've got $62,000 net remaining.
Okay. And so is it your recommendation that we just schedule? Do we schedule one right now? We can always cancel it. It's always harder to notify the public that we're going to do one. Or do you think?
I wouldn't be to the point where I would say we should advertise one. If you would feel more comfortable having a contingent date set up, we can and then figure out what the trigger is that says that we should do it. But most likely, if we were to do it, we'd do it in conjunction with our June board meeting. I mean, otherwise, we have to have an extra meeting.
Right. $11,000
is a little skinny. I'm hopeful right now that we'll stay within the constraints. But, you know, as we look at other things when we discuss next year's budget and stuff, you know, we may find ourselves making a decision that helps us make the decision today.
Okay. Any further discussion or comment? Financial report, anyone have any?
Do you expect our utilities to go up between now and July 1st? Because we're 20% below where we should be, or where we projected we would be. With our utilities for Willow Grove, we've only spent 60% of what we budgeted.
And the reason
we're at 83% of the year. So
if
that's,
I remember right, the reason we budgeted a little bit higher is because we didn't know what the bathrooms utilities were going to be. Because
okay.
It was our first full year having both bathrooms running.
Okay.
And I can't remember, did we pay the annual on the irrigation yet? Because that's usually spending, probably not.
Okay. No, we don't only start up all the pumps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we start the pumps, that's a chunk of change.
Yeah.
But then that's absorbed back into the use.
Or it's credited toward the operation. I mean, toward the,
yeah.
The finish.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to cough that up. I don't know when that happens.
Okay. How much is that normal?
I think it's like $5,000 or something.
I don't remember what
it is. I didn't know. Does that come out of our utility part of our contribution?
That
yeah, that's a chunk of change. I know that.
Yeah. But that's part, you know, that remaining amount, that $5,000, is, you know, also part of that $62,000 grand total that we're talking about. So
it could
be moved around, but we still got to stay within the $62,000 if we don't want to have a budget hearing.
Okay.
Or a budget amendment hearing.
That startup fee is a fixed amount, I believe.
I can't remember the voucher from the last few years. I just remember it was a little. You always look at it and go.
Any other comments? Discussion?
I move we approve the financial report.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? None. Those in favor of accepting the financial report signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying no. That motion is carried.
Aye.
I think I read Robert's deal where it says no is fine too. So.
I think I forgot to say aye.
Oh, you?
Oh,
I thought you wanted to say aye to
no. No, no.
No to aye.
I missed saying aye to approve.
Okay, motion carried. Report has been approved. Now we move on to the rolling calendar.
John, the only item on there is the preliminary budget for fiscal year 23, and we'll be looking at the details of that under old business.
Okay. All right.
So.
The sections report.
So you can see on the first page the numbers that we have for the year, for the month, for the types of funerals we've had. Grant went through and made a list of what he could see on the dump truck, and we took the dump truck out to its cell repair, and they have got back to us with the estimate. Grant has that for his recommendation for that.
Basically, when I took it in, I asked them to address any safety concerns and give us a quote on fixing those, and then also anything else that they felt was pressing or definitely needed attention just for function. And so That list combined was a little more than $2,000 to have all that, all those issues addressed. I have the list here if you want to read that. I think it's, after looking at that, I think that that's a very reasonable deal for addressing the situation. The safety concerns, some of those were like backup mirrors. One of them was broken, the frame was bent, the gas pedal needed replaced, different things like that. So I felt like those were pressing safety concerns. And so he stands ready to do whatever our pleasure is on that.
Does that get us to the point where he would sign and issue a DOT inspection sticker?
I didn't ask that directly, but I did mention he wanted a DOT standard. So I'm assuming, that's an assumption, but I did mention that to him, but I did not ask him directly after he gave me this bid.
I mean, when we took it in, we specifically said a DOT inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I mean, if we're going to fix it to that level, you need to at least get that, fix it to the level that
you get that clearance.
Yeah, we hope we get the certification with it.
Otherwise, you can fix it running around in here, but if all we're going to do is use it internal to the cemetery, then we might as well just pull the plates off of it. So nobody can take it out on the highway.
I wouldn't do that. I would make sure that it's roadworthy. Is he qualified to DOT? Do you know?
That I didn't ask directly. So I could verify that.
Yeah.
I could call him.
Probably should.
Right now, if you wanted me to.
Okay. Bring it all the way up to code. We might just as well get a DOT. Get the certification.
Yeah. Okay.
Do we have an expectation of taking it out on the highway? And what for, if we do?
I think if we do, it would basically be to service KC in any way we could with it. Or to take runs to the dump with whatever. So those are the two. As far as I know, in my limited experience, I think those are the two places that we would typically take it if we needed to go on the road with it.
And I know Danette has found gravel. Finding a truck is a little bit more, from down there, is a little bit harder, and it's going to up the price if she has to use the company's trucks down there. Whereas if we can use our truck to go get the gravel, she can get a little bit more gravel for that. On our budget down there.
How many times would you estimate that we do have to go to KC? I mean, you must have some kind of an idea how many times you that truck goes down there. Two, three times a year?
I'm thinking this last year, Tim took...
Well, didn't we...
Three or four loads down to KC?
Didn't we, I think, so, purchase the little front-end loaded thing for her side-by-side so she could scoop up gravel and spread it? I think that was part of some of the implements we purchased for that thing.
And she does have that. It's a pain, but she can do it.
So if it's stockpiled there like we have it stockpiled here, there's really no reason for the dump truck to go down, right?
Well, it'd be, the only reason would be for the dump truck to haul the gravel from the gravel pit to the cemetery to save on that expense.
It doesn't hurt for a truck to get on the road once in a while.
We're going to spend the $2,000 if we're not going to put it on the road, are there issues that we're dealing with that we wouldn't have to? From a safety standpoint, probably not.
Some of those, one of the issues that he was addressing was like the PTO shaft for raising that bed. Some of the bearings and things. It's in bad condition, so that's kind of a safety concern. Even if we don't take it on the road, that breaks while that bed's up, it could come down, and that's kind kind of dangerous. So, and then, of course, the backup mirror. And so one of the things that was on the list was the latches for the back gate, they weren't latching properly. So in the event of a load shift, I was concerned that they would just, they weren't. So some of those, even if we don't take it on the road and just use it here, many of those items are going to need adjusted anyway.
So the point I'm trying to make is that if we're going to put the money into it and making it safe and compliant and, and fixing what, and the PTO shaft has got to work in order to dump the box. So if it is available to be DOT'd, other than not wanting to plate it, I mean, if we don't plate it, then it's a moot. It's moot, you know, then we don't have to worry about the DOT if we don't plate it. No.
Then we just have something dead when it quits and you don't do anything with it. I like to see something.
I think we ought to find out if he's certified to.
Yeah, just find out.
We might as well go
just
ahead.
Just find out if that estimate.
We're going to put that money. If it doesn't cost any more, why wouldn't we do it unless we're planning on not putting the plate, not plating it in the future? We still have to do the fix. I mean, we got to fix it.
Yeah, fix it.
It's got to be fixed. John?
Yeah, I guess I have mixed feelings. It's, you know, I don't think tires were involved in it. In this particular bid, but you know, I look at all things like that and say, hey, you know, if we have a flat tire while we're, you know, running up to our gravel pile, that's one thing. If we have a flat tire while we're running down to KC, that's quite another problem. You know, and there's some things in there, batteries and stuff like that, that may not be pressing issues right at the minute. Might not even be safety issues, let alone DOT issues. But I think, you know, and I'm bird walking for a second, but we've got, I think this problem with the dump truck is typical of a problem we've got. We've got some long-term deferred maintenance issues that are coming to home to roost on us, and the dump truck is one of them. As we get into the budget and talk about it a little bit more, we're finding the same thing with the lawnmowers. We've been ignoring doing some maintenance for quite a while, and it's coming home to roost.
I don't see anything on here that we can avoid. I mean, when you're talking about front shocks, batteries maybe, carrier bearing support, wiper blades, U-joint, air tank drain valve, dryer assembly, convex, the backup mirrors, and the steering axle brake can, you got to have those. You can't even run, shouldn't be running around here without that stuff.
Agreed. I'm very much on the safety issue that we clean up all the safety issues.
That's what it appears like to me.
I know there was some discussion last meeting about maybe purchasing a dump trailer or a truck that's small enough that you don't need CDL or brakes and doors to drive. And that is an option, whatever board decides, something to think about anyway. But if we end up going with a dump trailer, we'll also have to upgrade the pickup because the truck that we have is a 1500. It'll hardly haul a 14-foot dump trailer.
So are we going to, do we need to approve that $2,000?
It would be a repair, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Well, that's where we're at now, whether or not we approve that
$2,000. I mean, unless we want to scratch something off of there, you know, the batteries, I don't know.
He said, the batteries are working, he said, but they are swollen. Said, so you probably could buy some time with them, but at some point you'll have to replace them probably by
when you need it. I make a motion that we approve that with the condition that it is also DOT.
Now, I don't know how much that would cost. That's what I was saying.
Well, if it doesn't cost, then
DOT isn't that expensive.
I don't know if it's...
Because what we're doing is we're spending the money there. You know, if you go to do a DOT, and then you've got to do a bunch of repairs, but we're planning to do the repairs, so it is roadworthy.
I think if you look at this list, considering diesel mechanic shop rates, I think it's a good deal for what we're getting, the work we're getting done. But that's still $2,000, and who knows where that'll lead us on the DOT scale too. So,
yeah. No, my mind's off.
Sorry.
I mean, other than the battery, everything else there I can see as a mechanic is a safety issue, so it should be fixed. And then we can explore whether or not we want to get to the DOT level.
No, Amanda.
What's his estimated time frame for getting it done?
He didn't give me one, but when we dropped it off, he said it'd be about a week before he'd come up with a bid for me. He had other work lined up, so I'm guessing it'd probably be about that again. Maybe two. I don't know. That's a guess.
So we have a motion to have it repaired at $2,000, but with the stipulation that it be DOT'd.
If he's qualified, I'll amend that.
We'll need a second. There being no second, the motion would fail. Now we have to need another motion to accept the bid without the...
Well, I'd make a motion that we accept, we get the repairs with the exception of the batteries done to the dump truck so it can be operating safely within the confines of our perimeter.
Is there a second?
To get it repaired?
Yeah.
I'll second it.
Any other discussion? Kind of beat it to death. So that's, all those in favor of applying that $2,000 to the repair of the truck signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed signify by saying no. John, did you?
I didn't vote.
He didn't vote. He didn't vote. Let's see. I guess I'll have to. I'll vote aye. So the motion carries 3-2. Or 3-2. Yes.
Well, I didn't vote. I did vote against it. So
okay.
Yeah.
So we've got
a vote. Yeah, the majority.
Majority. Yes. Okay. You want to continue on?
Grant was asked to research doing an electrical upgrade in here, getting another light in here so it's not as dark, and getting the table so it's electrified so we don't have extension cords and USB cords running to all the corners. And he's talked with John Ehlers about the prices and has been purchasing the items for that. And has Jesse Ruby lined up to do that. After the last meeting, we got some no dog signs. They've been delivered, but have not had a chance to get them put up. We'll get them put up this week or beginning of next week. We've done extensive research on petroleum spill containment, and I don't know, did you get that information to them already?
I did not. I have it on hand if they want to look at those bids or those the two things that I discovered. I feel like the two best approaches or options that we have is one is somebody mentioned a water tank, a stock tank, using those just to set the structures with the barrels on them in those. And those are going to run about $550 a piece. Those will have to be like an 8 foot across in order to contain those. And we'd need two of those for the two barrels that we have. And then there's a box that's designed specifically for petroleum spills and containment. And its capacity is big enough to handle both of the barrels that we have, and that's a $1,600 item. Those are the two cheapest and best options that I could find. You're welcome to look at
the stock tanks. We're going to have to add shipping and handling on those also. Okay. The prices he got are from local. It's what he found online for the prices for the stock tank.
But I haven't checked the locals too. The local farm stores may have an 8 foot tank that'll work. I haven't looked.
I know they do.
I'm sure they would, but I just checked. We got these prices offline because in research, trying to figure out how much capacity we needed versus with rainfall included and things like that, I found these, and so I just printed them up. But I'm sure we could get those local, that we would the size and cubic footage of those. We need the same size.
So what are they, about a 4x8? How long is it? What are those, 300-gallon tanks?
Those are three.
Yeah.
Yes, 300. The 300-gallon tanks is what we have. These tanks would be 8 foot round.
Yeah, or round or oblong?
Round.
Oh, okay.
From corner to corner, the stand on those tanks are, do you remember? She helped me measure those out. Seem like
they're like 7.5 feet.
Yeah, they're pretty close. Okay. It'll barely fit in a perfectly round 8 foot.
Okay. So basically, we've been banging this thing around for a while too. I think we ought to make a decision here and decide on
the second option that you had there. Mm-hmm. You said 1,500. Was that for two of them or for one of them?
It's one unit, but it's a big enough unit. It'll handle both of our tanks.
I got you.
So on one hand, we have the 1,600 covering both. On the other hand, we've got roughly 1,200 plus shipping.
If you go locally,
you're probably looking at
fairly close.
Spend the money there amount. So,
I'd make a motion we authorize $1,600 to purchase two of the tanks locally to get it done.
Yeah.
And then if we ever get the big Carbon Creek check, we can upgrade to something nice.
Has a motion been made to accept the combination unit?
Does that include the stock tanks?
Oh, you're talking
stock tanks. Give them a ceiling of $1,600. Go get two stock tanks. If you can't get two with $1,600, get one and come back to us next month.
Is there a second on
that? I have. Before I finish my mention, sorry, Craig. Before I finish the motion, I guess the discussion part I would have is to be between that, you know, we were just talking about having $11,000 basically to squeeze by the end of the year. This is safety. This is environmental. I don't know if we can say we're going to do this at the next fiscal year, or we just do it and kind of know that we're going to have to adjust the budget. Because you're right there, you're $3,600 of your $11,000 that we're squeeching down to.
It doesn't press us right up to the edge, but, you know, it gets us closer.
More discussion before somebody seconds my motion.
10 of them would put us over. I mean, 10 of those would put us over. So.
But we only have one more meeting.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that as an example, that we couldn't buy the tanks, or for that matter, even the dump truck. We could pump those off till next fiscal year. I'm not recommending that, but you know, that option
that's,
always
that's
exists.
That's why I wanted to leave my motion open for right now, just to let that discussion out. Safety thing, I don't, and they're both, one's environmental safety and the other one's physical safety, so I'm not sure how we could hunt those knowing that we do have the funds available.
We do have a pending bill of the electrician who's going to work on the outlet and the fixture here. I think he gave us a bid of about $2,000. And so we're waiting on parts and appliances and pieces that we've ordered. So that will be coming up at some point. Now, we haven't set the date on it here.
Those items come out of the budget where the lines have been approved.
Right.
I mean, are we getting a little gun-shy here as far as spending what, if that money's available to spend? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Overall, no matter what line that we deal with, we've got $62,000. And a lot of that's already committed.
Yeah. So I guess the other question I would have with the staff is, are there anything else we're going to discuss that's going to cost us over $2,000 for the rest of your report?
The only other thing is we walked one contractor through the irrigation stuff. He has not gotten back the bid to us yet. And, I mean...
That's the lower pump house?
The lower pump house and the blocks 45, 46, 53, 54, the 4-inch pipe.
Yeah, but we're not expecting to do that this fiscal year.
Yeah, I mean, that can be put off till next fiscal year.
Till January 1st.
And depending on the type...
On July 1st.
Depending on the type of pipe we use, it may be next summer.
So I would give you that motion, Mr. President.
We will have the ADA ramp that will be going in.
That's been budgeted.
And that'll be... We just talked to her today. That's going to be, she said, probably beginning of June when we get that in.
But my motion would be to authorize up to $1,600 to purchase two local stock tanks, 8 foot around, for fuel containment.
You said up to?
Up to. Yep. If they can't get two within $1,600, then they need to come back to us and talk to us. Not to exceed $1,600. Let me put it that way.
If we can't get two, do we get one?
Get one.
Well, we need one for sure for the diesel tank. We really need to get that diesel tank contained.
We can leave the gas tank empty.
Yes, we can almost.
Right
live
now,
live
the gas tank
that.
Is completely empty.
So there's a motion to.
Not to exceed.
Not to exceed $1,500.
$1,600.
I'm sorry. $1,600 on containment of the fuel system. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion second. Any further discussion? None?
The only thing I would add is they probably need to put tar on them before we set them.
Tar?
You said
line them, you mean?
No. Inside or outside?
They're galvanized.
Yeah, they're galvanized.
They're galvanized, but almost galvanized tank glass. I would do that. I would do it on the outside, especially on the bottom, before we set them.
Well, that's a
minor half gallon bed liner or something. But
yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal. It's just... But I would do it before we settle.
Okay. We've had a motion, then second. All those in favor of the $1,600 limit on purchasing the containment system for the fuels, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. It's been approved. Fire away, Megan.
For Buffalo, that's about those are the big things. KC, Danette met with Anetta from the Conservation District down there. She helped her with figuring out what trees needed trimmed up, got those trimmed up. And she suggested to call the county weed and pest and have them come look and suggest how to get rid of the ground squirrels that have invaded the tree line. They've moved from the graves to the trees. And everything she's trying isn't getting rid of them. So she was suggested to get the weed and pest and see what they recommend doing.
Does that cost anything?
I think just to have them come look at it and make a recommendation, I don't think it would cost anything. The cost would come when she would put, when she would have to buy a chemical or
feed
or whatever it is. And I'm looking, she still has $45 in her weed spraying fertilization line item.
Well, it doesn't cost us anything. Why are we even talking about it?
It that was just part of her monthly report from down there.
We had done something about pest control. We bought something. I can't even remember
what. They were vibrating stakes.
Right. Vibrating stakes. So we got
same critters. They
just moved.
They've moved, and the vibrating things aren't bugging them anymore.
Have we moved the vibrating things to where they've gone?
I believe she's moved them around. Try chasing them around, and they bring circles around her.
Yeah, it'd be a good question to ask.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely.
Matt, are you still online?
Rosol, using Rosol or something.
Danette, are you still there?
She was earlier.
Yeah. So every time I move them, it doesn't matter. It's a never-ending circle. So once they're out of one area, they continuously come back to another spot.
The weed and pest will recommend a pesticide that'll work on Rosol, or they've got several different. So just need to contact the weed and pest.
Have them apply it, because that's what they do every day.
Yeah, I believe they even. They'll even apply it.
Like I said, this happened just, she just met with them last week, and so she hasn't had a chance to get called in just yet. It was just part of her report.
Any further discussions on the section's report? Questions?
The trash that's out there on the south side by the fence, there's some old fence posts with some orange, plastic fencing.
What it was electrical fence. We were trying to get some trees going down there.
Okay.
And the deer ignored the electrical fence.
So you anticipate to get that cleaned up by next month?
Yeah.
And then the gates on the east are on the northeast side of our property, they're wide open. Is there a reason that the gates are open? And
The part that goes out into the Joy Edition?
No.
Dave's?
On our north fence line. Yeah, the gates are wide open. I was just wondering if there is a reason for it.
Okay. I'll talk to Dave and we'll get those closed.
And then, go ahead, Mr. For the President. Current status of employees. I noticed on our vouchers that we had a Leah, right? Leah?
Yeah. She is summer employment.
She's summer, but I mean, is she from the employment agency or is she somebody we hired here?
She's somebody we hired as.
That was a separate, it was billed separately in the vouchers.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why I'm kind of curious, how many employment agencies, people do we have working out here now, and how many summer help?
Employee agencies, we have one person from the temp employment agency. And right now we have three hired for summer employment. Two of them are coming out on Fridays when they don't have school. Third one is in college. Her last day of classes is the 13th, so I'm expecting her next week.
That's not Leah?
No, that would be Laurel. She worked here last summer. Leah and Mia are both high school girls, and they work on Fridays when they don't have school. We have a couple applications. We're waiting for one more person to turn in an application, then we'll decide between those guys who's going to fill the other two summer positions.
Okay. Because the reason I'm asking is there a point here where we drop the temp agency because they're so much more expensive, and when we've picked up enough local summer hires that you're satisfied with what you anticipate that point to be?
I don't anticipate the summer employees starting until having all of them until beginning of June.
Okay, but I mean, if we have this Laura, when did you say she would get a start?
I'm hoping next week, but
so if she's
not guaranteed.
But right now, with the other three and Laurel.
Well, with the other two, they can only come in on Fridays.
Okay.
And
so you're still in need of the one from the temp agency?
Yeah.
Until
when?
That was a 90-day commitment, wasn't it?
No,
we can shut
that
off.
Shut that off anytime. The only person who got a 90-day commitment.
All right.
But it's still necessarily 90 days. We just have 90 days budgeted. So realistically, we have Grant is a local hire. We have two high school kids
started working just Fridays until school's out.
And then you're expecting a college student to come in?
I'm hoping next week.
Next week. Okay. So I would say that, you know, budgeting wise, if this college person gets on board and is 40 hours a week, at that point, what you're anticipating?
I'm hoping, yeah.
That we trade her out for that temp agency.
I'd like to keep him until Memorial Day, just to keep up on the mowing and weeding.
I mean, it's been budgeted. For that.
Yes and no, but
if we don't need them, it's no use having them.
Right. And that's all I was asking. Yeah. You know, for the board is okay. Where are we at with our manpower to shift out of the higher dollar manpower into the local? So you're saying you'd want that temp agency manpower here until after Memorial Day?
June 1st. I would like to keep him just. We got a lot of grass to mow in the next 2 weeks and a lot of grass to weed in the next 2 weeks.
Any idea about the big tree in the ditch out there over the hill? He's going to get that cleaned out. I mean, that whole big tree.
Yeah, it fell down. It fell last year, and the school came over and we went over and we got it cleaned out of the ditch, and the school is supposed to go through and clean up anything that's blocking the ditch.
Doesn't the ditch company come and clean that out? We're part of the ditch company, right? Or do we have
we,
to?
Because it's on us,
we take care of ours?
We take care of what's in the ditch from where it enters the cemetery to where it goes out of the cemetery, and then Dave and the school kind of take care of it from there to the school. We help out with that tree when it fell. We went over and helped drag the limbs and bark and all that out of it.
There's none of the trees in the ditch right now.
Right now there's some branches that will need to get pulled out.
I mean, there's part of the trunk in that thing, too.
Is it in the ditch?
I was just over there before I came to the meeting.
You need to get that out before
I turn on the water, yeah. Or there's going to be
we're going to create a dam over there, and it's going to flood our neighbor, and that is.
And it's on the cemetery.
It's on cemetery property.
So
yes.
We are obligation. We don't have the equipment to move something that big, do we? Will the backhoe pull it out of there?
We can get what's in the ditch cleaned out.
Yeah.
Cutting that tree out of our chainsaw, I don't think we'll go through that trunk. It's a big trunk.
And that tree went down when? Last year?
It was last summer.
Okay.
And it got cleaned up to where the school was happy, the ditch company was happy. And
that seems like a bit of a stretch. If we can't be happy today, how could they have been happy back then with the tree
in
there?
The water was running through them. Then
what it may have been is it may have fell like this and created a bridge, but now it's done this, and it's actually in the ditch.
Yeah. Is it how big is the tree? What's the diameter? Can you hook onto it with the hoe and put it up on the back, or is it too large for
we that? Might be able to pull it.
Oh, yeah.
Just grab it and get it out of the ditch, and we'll worry about dressing it up after that. Get it.
Yeah, we can get it out of the ditch. We can work on that the rest of this week.
Yeah.
And then we already talked about trimming the limbs in anticipation of Memorial Day. There's several branches where the limbs are actually hanging into the middle of the road below the window line of my pickup truck. And I got some pictures of it, and any board members want to look at that. But, you know, it's for the customers that are coming out here. It looks unkept. It's not good.
I would hope that none of the board members have to go out to find those. I think our staff can find those.
That's all I have.
Do we need to go through the Sims report at all? Or is there anything?
Been working on training grants. Nothing I've done with the Sims this last month.
So we get to the. Are there any guest presentations from the public? None? Bids? We have no issues with bids at this time. Does any board member feel we need an executive session? None? No, we're cooking. Now we get to unfinished business or old business, however you want to call it. John, I believe.
Okay.
You are the star here.
Here's the copies of the excuse me, let me qualify again. I do not have COVID. I'm taking a medication that makes me cough. And I'm not contagious. What I want to draw your attention to here as we go through, you've seen already a lot of the numbers. All right. Last week we had a work session and we worked our way through the shall we call it the project list or capital outlay list. So by the time we get to that portion of it, and I'm not necessarily sending us there right this minute, I tried to anticipate what some of the ones we would want to do in next year versus the year beyond, but we've got plenty of flexibility to change that. But we do need to make our decisions today because we've got a June 1st submittal date for the preliminary budget. So hopefully you folks can see up here fairly good. I'm just going to draw your attention to a couple things. I apologize I didn't bring my mouse. So I have to use my finger. Okay. In the revenue section, we're looking at roughly $472,000 total, of which $132,000 would be relative to the Carbon Creek big settlement, assuming it happens. And we've sort of said to ourselves, I'm not saying we've made a decision, but we sort of arrived at a consensus that if that got collected, we were going to use it to restore our reserves to the level that they were, or shall we say, would have been, had Carbon Creek not bailed out on us in the past. If you take the Carbon Creek out of there, out of the 472, you're left with about $340,000. Okay? That's assuming that we would ask the county commissioners to levy $250,000 of current year. Okay, $340,000 is roughly where our operations budget is. Okay, and that's sort of consistent with the precedent we've set the last number of years. So I can address any one of those items if anybody would like any other information. Otherwise, we could probably just buzz down and hit the expenditure lines. Any questions on the revenue side? Anybody?
Did you say that was probably without Carbon Creek, we're probably about 10% over what we did last year for our preliminary budget in the 340 range versus the
300 range.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We had about a $300,000 budget operations budget last year.
Yeah, we were at what, 312 projected for 21-22. And I just subtracted out the 132 from the 470 to come up with 340. Or what do you got on the left side there? Yeah, 344. So it's approximately 10%.
It's about, our budget and expenditures are up about 14%.
Okay, that's what I was saying. I guess that's what I was asking, yeah.
The 301. Right down towards the bottom, the 301 versus the 344.
So about 14%.
Yeah. No.
And that's keeping with, so right there, and we're in keeping with inflation, we're not really have much of a budget increase at all. I mean, when you look at what inflation has done to us over the last. So, I just wanted to make sure we weren't taking a 25% or 30% jump in the budget.
Well, you know, and the line items over in column F, which is the preliminary budget, of course, we pretty much beat up and looked through each one of those. I shouldn't say we beat them up, but I mean we did examine them, paid a lot of attention to them. One of the assumptions that's in there that I want to draw your attention to for the moment, because we could change this in one of our next items, is I've got a compensation factor in here based on running the district with the same personnel type arrangements as we have had this year or plan to have this year, doing that same thing next year. Okay, just so we all are aware where we're at on that. So, again, if anybody's got any questions on any line items, we try to explain them. Okay.
And the hourly one, John, you calculated that for the summer help at what, five for the summer for hourly? Yeah.
What we've actually got is an hour, a chart of how many hours we plan to use each week.
Okay.
And that got toned down a little bit from where it's been. Historically, we've not used that line item near as aggressively as we budgeted it.
Does that take into consideration the raise that we gave our hourlies?
I have not changed anything. No.
That would not have much of an impact.
We would next move down then to our capital outlay. Okay. So, as we're on the third page now. Okay, there's a top half and a lower half. And you probably do a lot better if you look at the lower half of the page. Okay, I listed, again, based on our work session the other day, plus a couple of caveats I'll mention. But our work session the other day, we went through a myriad of lists, and we somewhat prioritized. I mean, we did prioritize, but we didn't prioritize necessarily by year. So what I've done here, if you look at column D and column E, is I've taken roughly $84,000 of the total list and put it in next year, and the rest is in column E, which is beyond fiscal year 23. And we have the total flexibility to move stuff back and forth today or someday in the sometime in the future. But I was trying to get us a little bit more prepared and moving along with this. So the things that I got in here, we talked extensively about the major fixes on the irrigation system. We had put earmarked $50,000 for that. I've got that in next year. The provision for the administrative area, I'm trying to remember exactly what our deeper definition on that one was, to be honest. It doesn't come to me right now. I don't know if it was the upgrade we wanted to do, maybe even yet this year or not.
I think that was the electrical lighting and stuff we were
about. And that may happen in fiscal year 22 as opposed to fiscal year 23. We talked about a security system here at Willow Grove with cameras that cover the grounds and particularly the entrance areas where activity, people coming and going, can be recorded. We had put earmarked $10,000 towards that. I put that as a next year project. Dropping down, Willow Grove, upgrade the block marker signs. Remember, we're going to put sticker posts in. I put that one in for next year for $2,000. The $2,000 we had earmarked. Fuel storage upgrades, I had put in for next year. Okay, that may happen this year. We had earmarked $10,000 to look at possibly putting heat in the shop building at KC. I put that in for next year. Then we dropped down. We talked about doing a land survey to see what we might want to consider conveying for land for trails board use. $1,500. It sort of sounded like people might want to do that next year. We had provided $1,000 for marketing info. We had earmarked, and I took all of that and put another $5,500 and made it come up to $84,000, because there always needs to be a contingency, whether it be a surprise or an overage or what. So, anyways, that's what we've got there at the current time. And, I'm focusing primarily on fiscal year 23 because that's what we've got to approve today. It's not the beyond 23. I've got them listed, so we've got place markers, but that doesn't really need a whole lot of discussion today. So, with that, I would probably just make one additional comment that every time we turn around, it seems like we've got a crisis that kind of wants to bite us in the butt. And this budget is intended to give us some flexibility to get some of those behind us instead of ahead of us. I'll pick on a particular thing. This year we've spent in our machinery and equipment accounts, we spent $15,000 thus far. That's three times as much as we spent a year ago. And that's primarily mowers. I'm not saying it's all mowers, but it's primarily mowers. And what it keeps telling me is that we probably don't have a proactive enough program on our maintenance, whether it's our equipment maintenance or what, because we're just getting caught in these traps all the time.
Well, tell me we don't have an actual maintenance plan, which we have. As a board, we have not helped the staff to develop an actual maintenance plan that says what the expectation. Because it was just last spring that we found out that in previous years maintenance was deferred until you actually needed it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, having an actual maintenance plan on what's expected to be fixed and maintained throughout the year would help us be able to budget that better.
We just got to create a new culture. That's all I want to say on it. It's just we've got to move out of the reactive mode and get to the proactive mode. And I think this is a step in the right direction, but... anyways, so that's all I've got on the fiscal year 23. Anybody want to make any changes, ask any questions?
The handicap ramp, that'll be completed this year or
that's the current schedule. If there's a, and I don't even want to call it a blessing, if there's any mixed things in here, it ain't done yet. If it doesn't happen until early next year, that gives us a little less budget pressure on our expenditures, because that's gonna. Well, I think the bid was for about $3,700, but I'm sure they're gonna have to put extra concrete.
Okay, was just for the ramp. That wasn't for the extension of the sidewalk.
Yeah, that extension isn't that much. But when you, whether it happens this year or next year, it's kind of depends on the contractor gets out of here before it's pumped.
And I mean, if you'd rather have it after July or after July 1st, you can tell her, hey, schedule this for after July 1st.
We have a company.
I'm not looking for a reason to postpone it, but. If it does get postponed.
I'm just wondering if it's something that we are required to have.
ADA compliant.
And that's whether it should be prioritized.
Yeah. The utilization right now, experience would tell us it's not going to be highly utilized. But experience also tells us we're required to do it.
Yeah, the first person that needs it.
And we're not ready for it. We're going to hear from somebody.
For myself, I would prefer to see $110,000 of the cremation gardens moved into, or even 75 third. We took that into thirds and made that cremation garden a 3-year project just to get it started. If that means we're putting in the concrete foundations for the niche wall and the concrete foundations for the other stuff and the grade work done while we're starting down the path.
So, John,
I would propose 75 of that be moved into 2023 to begin the process of building that, and that gives us a three-year plan to get that done. That's my only change as a board member I would recommend.
So we could start on that sooner?
Yeah, we could start on it this year. You know, what we get done this year may just be the foundational pieces. You know, and some of
not usable, but structural and done.
You got to start building infrastructure somewhere, and that means the grading of the land, the putting in of the foundations, that kind of stuff. You got to, you know, it's a long, so it's a big project. Take 3 years, you know, or even 4 years. I'm not opposed to 3 or 4 years to manage that project, but I think 3 years is plenty doable. We get that big Carbon Creek something, that'll, you know, put us right back to where we are right now. The building infrastructure is what I'm looking at. Building the infrastructure for that. Mm-hmm. Not purchasing headstones, not purchasing it. It's if grade the dirt, put in the foundations, do the subgrade work that's required.
And what was the dollar figure?
When we initially talked with started that whole thing, we were in that $250,000 without the markers.
But what did you say you wanted to?
75. That would give that project about a 3-year lifespan. But I would not want, even at the end with that project, I wouldn't want the cemetery to buy the stones. I think that puts us in a competitive thing with private industry. And now we can tell them what kind of stones they'll wear, but we shouldn't be selling the stones ourselves. That should be private industry. But we build the infrastructure, just like we build roads, just like we survey in plots. It's building the infrastructure is what I would be looking at. And it may be, you know, when we talk to a contractor, the first part is he does that piece that's below the ditch, and it's the parking lot area and that lower. You know, we can look at that project different ways, but I'd like to get started on it.
Is that a consensus on my part?
I agree.
I'll make a motion that we move $75,000 to start the cemetery or the cremation garden into the 2023 budget. And see how far that takes us, and then
putting a number in there does not officially obligate us to do anything, but it certainly is a place marker. So if and when we do decide to do it, we're not coming out of the gate saying, well, it's a budget amendment time.
Right. We have the money identified for the current year that should we find a contractor that price fits with our vision, then we can say, yes, begin, let's do something.
Under that stipulation, I would be agreeable.
Yeah, we're still going to have to make a motion to start the project. This just puts the money in the budget, so if that motion comes up within the 22-23 year, that we don't have to have another budget hearing to move that money back over.
Personally, I'd be in favor of that. I mean, we're looking for a consensus.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we've got to either approve or disapprove this 2023 budget.
To start the project, yeah, you'd have to be a motion, regular motion at a board meeting to start any of those projects.
Yeah.
Right.
But this just lets the public know that here's our plan on how we would like to accomplish that whole project.
If we did that, would you be talking?
Well, you want
so. Guys, I screwed that up. You don't know how disabled I feel when I don't have the regular mouse here to be doing this. I am not a finger touch guy.
One of my good ones.
I got a mouse, but ain't gonna help you, John.
Okay, so then we said. We put, as an example, $75,000 there. And would you then be saying
that would lower that 75.
The 145.
Yeah. Well, actually, what I'd do is 75 there, and then whatever the balance is over, and would it be 24? So, but.
Well, beyond fiscal year 23.
Yeah, whatever 220 minus 75 yeah. is.
Okay, so we haven't changed our total earmarking. All we've done is changing the possible timing.
Should the board decide to execute the beginning of that plan, we don't have to have a budget hearing. The money is there set for that project, but I'm okay with the rest of the projects.
Well, anybody else got thoughts?
I'm good.
Did you talk to
me? Yeah, I'll get to that. That's what I was trying to put down on. New business. That is new business.
Okay.
So, and I'm not trying to rush anything. Hey, maybe even the public's got a comment that they want to bring up. I don't know. But
we have to ask for public comment on
it before we approve it. But if where we need to be moving is adopting a budget. For fiscal year, a preliminary budget for fiscal year 23. And don't forget, we don't formally approve this budget until July. Okay, but it is a preliminary. If we did that, we would be changing what I'll call column D. To read for capital outlay, and our total at the end of page 2 on the expenditure portion, where you'll recall we had $344,200 for operating expenses, mm-hmm. We would change that 84 on the capital outlay to $159,000. And our grand total expenditures would go to $503,200. The combination of operations.
Say that again.
$503,200.
Thank you.
Okay, and so if we get and if we approve the motion for that, then I'll get the final draft of this and get it to Shanda, and Shanda will get it filed with the Department of Audit and the County Commissioners. We'll get a chance in June to chat with the County Commissioners. We would probably be asking them to levy enough to get us $250,000 in current tax levies. And
that's quite close to that. That close to 1 mil right now, isn't it?
That's what I would guess. Yeah. Has anybody heard what the assessed valuation?
Yeah.
Well, I'd make a motion that we approve the preliminary budget as submitted to the board with that change.
Totaling $503,200 expenditures. $472,538 for revenues.
Yep.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. Motion's carried.
Okay, we've got one other housekeeping thing to do. and I thought of it this morning, so this is really last minute.
Now, this budget, John, I keep getting emails from the special district about the new electronic form. Or you guys,
Shanna is staying on top of that one.
Okay.
We have to include a message. So, here's what I did this morning real quick. And again, we can change the message if necessary at a later date, or we can modify it right now. What I did on the top half of the page is gave you the message that was in the fiscal year 22 budget, the one we did a year ago. And the bottom, which is highlighted in yellow, is what I wrote for a budget message this year. Hopefully everybody can see that in the back of the room.
I think we need to maybe be a little more specific about our capital outlay work that we've done, John. You know, that we've just said we've got X number of dollars. This year we've actually taken that money that's above and beyond our reserves and actually identified projects for all of it. In the past, we've only had a certain, little piece of it identified, which to me is a big leap in the planning process and the budgeting process, being able to tell the public that we have a plan for all the money that you've entrusted us with. It's not just a slush fund and we're taking out, $1,000 here or $5,000 there. We have it all earmarked. It doesn't necessarily mean that it won't get changed in the future, but to me, that's a big step forward in the board's work on being transparent with the public's money. It's not just sitting out there for, and I don't know how to.
So are you talking about, as an example, expanding on this line and telling a little bit more how we got? What we've done?
What we've done as far as identifying the, when we look at this, our other page here, that the work we did at the last meeting, somehow explaining, that we did a lot of work and we planned for that money. There's a plan for that money. It's not just sitting there without a plan. That's the only thing I can see, and I think the rest of it, but as an individual board member, I'm just wondering if, because this all goes to the county commissioners, but it's also what we're telling the public what we're doing with their money. And so, hey, we've taken the additional step in identifying all of those additional funds for projects in 2023 and beyond. And I don't know if we can do, see attachment, if we can even... it'd be under the capital outlay. So it'd be right here in the capital outlay part of the budget where they can see our plan for all the excess monies. But
is this
maybe that's
kind of a summary, isn't it supposed to be? Or
In a sense, we've got, telling you it's as easy to find, but we've got it on page 3.
Yeah, we have it on page 3.
And maybe do a better, except this isn't the form
that actually
the county commissioners would see this form, and any member of the public that wanted would see it. But this is an internal form Right. And the budget message basically goes with the, let's call it the external form that's dictated by the Department of Audit.
Well, then, I think we...
But see, that's available to the public as well. And, we can't anticipate that people know which one to ask for to get the information they want.
It may be something as simple as
we just add this? Can this just be added?
Like in that last line, and approximately in earmarked capital outlay reserves to be deployed over the next 5 years, see below list, and then we just stick that list on there, and at least then they can do the math themselves. They can see that we got something planned for their money.
I'm tracking with you, and how about if I try to modify that last part and approximately $500,000 in earmarked capital outlay reserves to be deployed over the next 5 years, as illustrated below, and I just do a two-column or a three-column list. As that doesn't lengthen the whole thing very much, but would you be comfortable with something like that?
Yeah, I'd be comfortable with that. Yeah, just something that shows the public we're from several years ago where it was just a big pot of money to now we're actually doing something.
Okay. Okay, if you would so kindly basically approve this as
I would
the message okay. with a
I'd make a motion that we approve the FY23 proposed message as submitted to the board with the addition of the capital outlay detail.
Okay. And then I'll get that. If you approve it, I'll get that to Shannon here.
Second. Okay. Any further discussion? None.
Okay, thank you.
All those in favor of approving this, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. All right, now we come to this. Megan, just real quickly, Megan brought, we've got the signs, the block sign, one of the block signs in, and the fix, so to speak, that we talked about. If the board wants to see that, we can do that real quick. That would have been in conjunction with do you want me to explain it, or do you?
I don't care.
If you hold the block sign up a little higher, please, Megan, if you could. You can see how deep it only
goes. Probably you can come up there so people on the camera can see.
We'll just do this real quick. It won't take very long. You can see that this is as far in the ground as it goes to the top of the spade. I mean, you can drive it in further to here or whatever, but then the sign becomes hard to read. It's not what the level it needs to be. So you can see this is not very far in the ground.
Well, look how weak the post is.
Yeah, and you add water to the situation, and before you know it, the wind is blowing these signs all over the place. So Megan and I and Grant, we looked at this situation. To strengthen this, we can take a T-post, and that can be driven into the ground. That would fit right into the sign. It's hard to get it in here because the signpost is bent, but it would literally sit right in the V of this sign, and it would be driven into the ground as far as it would take to solidify that sign. you can drive it in, drive it in the ground as long. And then there's a U clamp that would be put on here that would
hold it all together.
Yeah. And it would just keep that. See, the wind hits this. This is what happens. Before you know it, it literally falls over. So that's what we've been looking at as far as fixing this situation.
Do we need to, when we put that U-clamp in, is that going to stiffen up the sign itself enough?
No, you're always, I mean, this is like a sail out there. This is always, the wind's always going to
buffet. Yeah.
But if we can get this planted in the ground,
yeah,
firmer, you know, it'll hold that sign in place.
We will help.
Thought about just replacing this post with this post, but these T-posts are really tough to drill a hole through to fasten that sign to it, other than using new bolts.
Craig raises a good thought, not Bush League idea, but could we put a little more rigidity to this sign by
running a strap
of steel across there or something like that?
That's what I would think you'd do, John.
I don't think you'd need it if you put in that bolt.
Except, John, you still get the impact of the wind, which it can't twist the post near as easy, but it can still twist the
window will still vibrate.
Battering the sign.
And hold it. By putting that holder, that U-clamp or however we do it, that square one, and then at the same time run a short strap, you know, I mean a 12-inch strap, you could
spin the sign around. So every time you're doing one of that, you're going to add another bolt to the front side of it, and a U-bolt to the front side of it.
Well, we're hoping the U-bolt will either be here or up here. Up here, it would bury it in the design.
But that one we can't run a strap on. The other one we could run a strap
on the bottom.
Yeah.
Now, if you riveted it, it wouldn't be as bad as...
Either way, you're going to have to fasten that brace to the runner across. It's going to have to...
You could almost use a plumber's tape to use it just to strengthen it.
I think we need to just... What we'll do is throw a few of these in the ground.
Test them out. You know,
test it and see what... If we still have the situation with the wind vibrating and tipping them over, but there's quite a few out there that are tipped over.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you'd look at then is that it'd probably wear out around that bolt going through the post.
Oh, it's going to do that?
But we anticipated when we bought them, there's going to be maintenance and upkeep. Over the years, they'll fade or they'll get slapped with something and need to be replaced.
I think this would solve the biggest share. We'd probably have you do half a dozen or so if you have some steel posts. If you have some steel posts available,
we have to go purchase some.
Okay. Do before we do the whole thing, because we're talking. What do we think?
A couple grand.
200
units. You know, steel posts right now are $8 or better. So. We could just give it a try, throw them in. In the meantime, if you see the sign stiffed over, it's going to happen. If you happen to be going by, straighten them up, I guess. And I would say the same thing to the staff. Because they're just, especially when we start watering, that ground is wet. And that vibration is going to, the day we were out looking at them, those things were going like this. And with this light post, and only being in the ground, it's actually less than a foot in the ground. There's just no stability there at all.
Yeah.
And that day there wasn't a lot of wind.
What's that?
That day there wasn't a lot of wind.
No, yeah, it doesn't take much.
In the meantime, if somebody's got any other ideas to give it a little more rigidity, I mean, we can't lose if we make it a little more rigid.
No. That's just so you have an idea of what the thoughts were on it. On fixing that. All right. Now we are to the hiring choices process.
we have that in here?
The notes on the hiring process we do not have.
Okay.
John was supposed to look at those. We have the job description.
Job description for him. Want to run with this?
Well, our discussion at the last work meeting, second work session, was centered around, do we strip out duties, admin duties, and create a separate admin position, which it was under choice number two when we originally submitted, or do we keep it as we are now, the sexton, deputy sexton, and then permanent part-time, and then seasonal. The discussion really, the one big con that we came up with for having a separate admin person is career progression for any of our people. If the admin is stripped out of the deputy sexton, then if the deputy sexton was to move up into the sexton position, they wouldn't have the administrative experience or knowledge that is separated out at their deputy level to the admin person. Well, if the admin person moves up, then they don't have any of the physical exterior outside experience needed to be the sexton. And that's where we left the conversation. So basically what's before the board, or what should be before the board, is do we separate out and create an admin position, or do we stay with the same structure we have now, sexton, deputy sexton, and then the part-time? That doesn't preclude us from hiring somebody permanent, a third person here, to do extra work, whether that be outside or inside, but it would still put us in that two-person sexton, deputy sexton structure.
That was the consensus from the work session.
Yeah, from the work session is we stay as we are. If we need additional help, additional personnel to the sexton and deputy sexton, then we look at that as a separate issue and hire as needed. But for the structure, sexton, deputy sexton, and then whatever we hire after that, because then it gives that career path with experience and institutional knowledge all the way up, and it's not broken out to the side. But it was also consensus that there probably does need to be some additional help out here. Now, whether that's seasonal, part-time, permanent, full-time, permanent, but I think the first issue, Mr. President, you should address is keep it a linear structure, sexton, deputy sextons, and then the seasonal and part-time person, or we go the sexton and then the two other positions, which would be permanent. Either one of them could be part-time or full-time. And it's broken out that way. There's pros and cons to both. Probably the biggest con to the splitting apart of the duties is
training.
Training and a career path going up to the sexton position.
Any other comment? Is there
to get the ball rolling? I'll make a motion. I make a motion that we leave the positions described as they currently are.
Employee structure.
The what?
Employee structure.
Yeah. The job description's basically the same, and the employee structure the same as it is for now.
I'll second that. Any other further comment, discussion? All those.
I really think you brought up some good points there, John.
All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed signify by saying no. Motion is carried. That structure will be
the same.
Accepted, and that will be the policy.
Yeah, right. So now it's a matter of advertising for the sexton, agreeing to advertise our unique we need to actually approve our job descriptions, and then we can advertise for that job. And
the job description that's in there is one of the three different jobs.
Three different jobs.
Yeah. That's
so the actual job, the older job description should be in the HANF employee handbook or in a big binder. Well, we can go through the, here. The district administrator, or Sexton, dated 9 August 2021, was never formally approved. That's the first one in there. And there's going to page
17.
It was six pages of two.
Six, yeah. It says six of two instead of two of six or six of six. So those, nothing in that had changed. But we would have to approve that, and that's what you would base your advertisement off of, whether it's promotion from within or hire from without. But you need to approve that one, because that's what was submitted to the board last August.
I did talk with Barry Craigle last week, and he recommends that we do hire, that we do advertise, but we don't have to print the whole thing.
No.
Keep it simple that we do advertise, but don't have to print the whole job description, just advertising for the position.
Yeah. I'm sure we have a copy of the stuff.
Yeah, we can shrink it up even more from last time. Last time we were pretty big, but we didn't.
Yeah, and I'm sure if we just put, complete job description available by contacting the district office.
But if we approve this one today, then we can get the advertising piece on the road and get that moving towards getting a Sexton hired. And then, if people need to leave tonight, we can then work
and actually,
on the deputy.
That district administrator one and the deputy section administrator, assistant administrator, whatever, that I can pull them, they were voted on at, I believe it was the August meeting and approved.
They were, because I don't have an approved one anywhere in my books. Were they in the August minutes?
Yeah.
Well, I can't answer that.
I didn't think we did, because that's when I submitted them before. Because everything I have on my computer, I don't have anything that says final.
I don't know.
Usually I'll have the name of the file will say final when I do that.
We're talking August of 2020.
21, last August.
Oh, this, yeah, 20.
Because usually when we vote on it, I go back in my files and change it to a final.
Yeah.
And then submit that to the board, and that's the one we sign.
What sort of timetable do we want to be on for advertising and completing the advertising? Do we want to do it, real soon?
Well,
do we want to do it starting July 1st? August 1st?
Yeah. I think we advertise probably as soon as June. Well, this is May 10th, so really, if we start May 15th,
advertise
for
a week?
I think what we did last time is we just put it in and said we want to advertise for 3 weeks, but as soon as we got three or four applications, then we held a hiring session.
I'm just trying to think of the timeline here.
Yeah.
Where we're going to be.
The best.
Because We've got someone hired on a temporary basis for 90 days.
The last time.
Let's not punt it for another.
It was
60 days.
Yeah, it was.
No, I meant to have it all closed in 60.
Yeah, it took us 60 to 75 days to get everything done.
Yeah.
The last time. I don't know how much faster that can move, but I think you start advertising, and then once you get to three or four applicants, something that you can give you a pool to interview, then you hold that interview process. If you find somebody, great. If you don't, you just keep on with advertising.
How do you find that, Megan?
So the September 14th meeting, the minutes, number three, Johnny moved to approve the four job descriptions dated August 9th, 2021. John Z stated that adjustments can be made, but this gives employees a starting point. John H seconded, motion carried.
Okay, so.
And so that was.
Okay, so we did approve them, and.
Go ahead and plan the advertisement.
Based on up to that August 9th,
2021.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you,
Megan.
Yep.
Thank you.
And I can remember doing that.
I can pull those up off the emails.
I'll send you my file copy.
Okay.
And then.
Because it was like employee one, employee two, deputy section, and.
Oh, yeah, there's seasonal one, two, three, and then the deputy and administrator section one.
All right, so that the job duties and descriptions have been.
They're done.
That's.
But back to the timing point, you know, and it does, obviously, whoever's going to be involved is going to be involved, but. Is there any particular time that's bad for multiple people? I mean, if somebody just said, is everybody going to be around in the month of June? Or if somebody said, is everybody going to be gone in June?
I'm going to be gone pretty much the whole summer, but I'll be able to get back here fairly quickly. But that's what I'd recommend, Mr. President, that we start advertising on the 15th. Give it 3 weeks. That puts you the first week of June to gather.
15th but, Sunday.
You know, whatever.
Well, yeah, just in there any time.
Get it started. It's the 10th, so the 15th would be
this coming week.
Yeah. But at least then you give your the sooner you advertise, the sooner you can gather three or four. And I would say probably a minimum of three. We'd like to have four or five probably, but minimum of three applications, then start interviewing people. And you don't know
so whoever you we pick. need to have volunteers for the interview committee.
It'd be a committee of the whole, I'd be.
Pardon me?
Committee of the whole.
The whole board.
Well, I don't know.
Whoever shows.
I was stuck in COVID last time, so I don't.
Yeah. It's obviously.
We had a three-member committee last time going through the applicants and interviewing.
Doing the preliminary interview or the actual interview, I don't remember.
That was the actual interview, yeah.
But what we tried to do is if you attended one, you needed to try to commit to attend all of them.
Yeah. Is that the point you're trying to make?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I just think it's important.
Well, if we start advertising, if we get four or five applicants in 3 days, we may as well have a committee ready to start reviewing them and the interviewing process.
I'd like to be on the committee since I didn't get to do the interviews last time.
I think you should.
I'm even okay if we just leave it to the committee of the whole, but knowing that if you sign on, you know, if you come to one, come to all. I just think that's the more important thing.
I mean, I'd like to be on the committee. I mean, whoever, I guess.
I make a
anyone that wants to attend the
initial meeting,
the interviews or the initial meeting can. I mean, we can't say.
And you can limit the number of people asking the questions. Not all the board members need to ask questions, but all the board members can submit questions to be asked. Of the one, or that way the interviewee is only answering to one or two people. Everybody else is listening. So I'd make a motion that it be a committee of the whole, with commitment to if you attend one interview, you attend all. If you break that, then you really should recuse yourself from the rest of them.
Go ahead. Do we have a second?
I just did.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, the other, if I sit on the other side, John?
Yeah. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? None. All those in favor of proceeding with what we just discussed?
Committee of the whole.
Committee of the whole.
To attend all meetings.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, signify by saying no. The motion is carried. And we have approved that. New business.
Okay, bylaw change. I pass this out to everybody. I think everybody should have a copy of it. Basically, taking off of an old Army axiom, leadership by example, after 4 years, self-imposed term limit as a board president. I stepped down from that position, so I have a motion here to amend our bylaws to create a term limits for us as board officers. Not term, you can stay on the board, for state law says you can stay on the board as long as you want. But what this does is it restricts the president of the board to 4 years, the secretary to 4 years, the treasurer to 4 years, vice chair to 4 years. And then it doesn't preclude you from serving in all of those positions. So I can go from the president to secretary to treasurer to vice chair. And it's not effective until after this next election, November 8th, 2022. So anything we've done in the past doesn't count. We start fresh on November 8th after this next election. The idea behind that is that, it helps educate the board members by moving between positions. You get a better understanding of the board. Number two, it prevents somebody from, let's say you, Mr. Hanson, from staying the president of the board for 12 years and kind of getting the board stuck in the mud by moving people within the organization around a little bit. You get the fresh ideas. 4 years, whether that's you serve 2 years and trade off with somebody else, and you're still on the board and come back for 2 more years as president, well, then that's 4 years. You got to try to do something else for a while. Just trying to keep that, you're not a dictator if you're there for 12 years, sometimes one person stays in one position long enough, they get complacent or a power thing comes in. So it's just a way for us to self-regulate ourselves. And we all know how our U.S. Congress works with people that have been in there for 500 years. This is the antidote.
Let's avoid that.
Avoid that. This is the antidote to Congress. And so that's why I brought this before the board. Now, it's not for voting on this meeting. Our bylaws say we've got to give 15 days of notice. So here's my written notice to the board. I'd like to have it on the agenda for next month for a yay or nay vote. So it's just homework. Yeah.
Did we get, all of our amendments that we did last year?
We haven't republished our bylaws.
We haven't republished them yet?
No. And that's due on the rolling calendar in like August.
Okay.
So that's all I have.
That's something real quick on I'll just put it into on the new business. As you know, at the work session, we discussed the water situation, and I made a recommendation that we look into the reservoir, the new Bull Creek Reservoir, as far as buying shares. Well, lo and behold, our questions were pretty much answered in the paper this week. It was pretty much explained that reservoir is temporarily on hold. It sounds, I visited a little bit with Wayne Nelson. He's been really kind of pushing, and he's hopeful that it still is. It's something that will happen in the future, but what I'm going to excuse me, I'm going to find out just exactly where they are, whether they're at what point they're going to be offering shares to that. And, you know, that way we can get in on the ground floor. We can just jump in there if there are shares available, if the board chooses that's the route to go. But for now, it's basically kind of in limbo right now, that reservoir. If you read the paper.
And that's basically what I got out of the newspaper article, too. But what the thought that crossed my mind is, maybe the list is this long of people who would want to buy shares. But when something gets put on temporary hold like that, it takes a trigger to get it back off of the hold. And, you know, I almost feel like, should we say, dollars is controlling the discussion. And
it is exactly that is what's holding it.
But, you know, and I'll just be wild with my numbers, because I don't know good numbers. You know, I'm not a rancher, I'm not an area water rights guy, but, you know, if somebody came along and said, well, how many people you got signed up for how much money, so that we know that there's going to be this much money available from, call it, investors, okay? I mean, if you buy a water right, you're investing, as far as I'm concerned. Boy, I really think we ought to be on that list. And, you know, if somebody came along and said, hey, you know, an acre foot of water is going to cost X number of dollars, and we sized up and said, hey, you know, maybe we ought to sign on for two acre feet of water or something like that, and just say, hey, it's a tentative commitment, but it's a real one. Mm-hmm. You know, if you offer them,
well, can we
agree that you know, we said we wanted to buy and we will buy.
Can we make a motion to say that we're going to reserve 1 mil? One time, one mil levy to purchase water shares.
You know,
that just says that's our commitment level. We would commit to a single year of 1 mil for the purchasing of water shares, so that we can keep.
Yeah.
If the valuation goes up, that mill will be worth a lot more by the time that we actually have to expend the money. If we're still where we're at, we kind of know how much money we got. But we can commit. I think that's a way to commit to somebody.
We want to be prepared.
You know,
according to what I've read and talking to Wayne, this thing has been pushed out again. You know, it's been in the works for a long time, as most water projects in the state are. I mean, it's typical of being drawn out forever and ever and ever. Often, the original investors basically sometimes don't really get an advantage with the projects. You know? So, I personally feel we need to get on this thing too and keep them. If we have that mill commitment, and then just keep a real close eye on it. It'll be advertised at some point, but we certainly want to be sure when they start selling shares, and they're not going to turn a shovel full of dirt until they have the financial commitment, and that's according to the paper, that's what they're.
I mean, we can. This also tells the public, hey, we're. Should this come through, we would like to commit, or the board is committed to a one-time 1 mil levy for the cemetery district for the purchase of water shares to help keep our.
Well,
that's a good idea, John. Yeah.
You know, that other boards in the future, they can change that down to half a mil, or as the two things get closer to. Starting it, completing it, and purchasing, those adjustments can be made, but at least we can tell the public, this is what our plan is. We no more than, you know, we're limiting to one mill to help keep our cemetery clean.
Well, you know, when John and I and Megan were looking at it last week, and and we're looking at the fact that we can eliminate pumps and have the water come in, and looking at having gravity feed all the water system, we can do things with it.
Mm-hmm.
And well, and the time schedule would put us into developing the Adams addition also as a green area if we had more water. But I want to emphasize here also that in no way are we going to lose the water that we're adjudicated right now. Even though we would make those purchases, we would still have water allocated through the Carlisle ditch, which is Clear Creek, and the Cemetery Creek. Am I correct, Megan? That we're the only user in Cemetery Creek.
As far as
that
I
know of, anyway. But we wouldn't lose those adjudications. No, we would still have that water. This would be an effort to solidify.
Yeah. And
additional water and putting it above the cemetery as opposed to below the cemetery.
And my big concern is letting the public know what our plan is. You know, that, hey, the current consensus or the plan, and should that thing be voted on, the plan of the board is, should it become available, we would like to levy, our plan is to levy one of the two mills that we have not used, one mill for 1 year, to purchase water rights. What, however many that gets us, it's, you know, now at that point, who's ever on the board, if they need more money, they can make, but at least it tells the community what our plan is, and let's, like you said, John, let's the state know, hey, there's somebody out there that wants water to make sure the cemetery stays green in the future.
And I don't know how they'll structure it, whether you could purchase additional rights or you would be limited to the rights you have in Clear Creek right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because they, as it stands right now, they cannot transfer water into Clear Creek from other drainages. But if we can get it into that reservoir, there's a possibility we could, even though we could not make those purchases there for shares in the reservoir, we could buy, for example, we could buy Willow Park shares. If we can exchange,
because that's farther downstream,
the water would be exchanged with them. See, so we could purchase Willow Park. We wouldn't necessarily have to purchase the shares in the new reservoir. We could purchase Willow Park shares, and their shares that buy and sell Willow Park almost on a yearly basis. There's people buying and selling all the time. So that's a possibility by putting that water up there at Bull Creek. It gives us an opportunity to exchange water with someone further down, and we could buy rope. So there's other options there, too.
Yeah.
But as it stands right now, we could have all the water we want in Willow Park. We have no way of getting it. See. Wayne Nelson, he has 900 acre feet of Willow Park water. He can't get to his ranch without that reservoir. That's why he's pushing that reservoir.
Well, I think the water is critical. It's gold.
It's the life of the cemetery. As the cemetery is set now, you know, to keep it green.
Yes. Well, so I'll let you draft up that motion.
The important thing is we declare our interest and our commitment.
Exactly.
So somebody can use it for leverage.
We have consensus there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Then I'll write something up.
You help me. I'll help you.
Okay.
All right. I'll be in attendance
for next
week. If you need it. All right. No new business.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
It's second.
Second.
Yep. Second. Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all.